We're going to learn Zechanishmas, Perel Margalit Bas Moshe, Rezel Bas Binyamin, Mindel Bas Tzvi, Yehuda Ben Aaron Yaakov, Sur Bas Zecharia, Zecharia Ben Azul Aryeh, Krandel Bas Yitzchak Wolf, Leib Wolf Ben Shmuel Levi, Alexander Ben Chaim, and Dvor Bas Hirsch Tzvi. This past Thursday, I and a group of Chaverim, all in the rabbinate, had the schus to accompany Hagon Rav Asher Weiss Shlita, one of today's foremost poskim, on a trip to Har HaMenuchos, where he first took us to the offices of the Chevra Kadisha Kehilas Yerushalayim for a presentation on the various different forms of burial that are available through this Chevra on Har HaMenuchos, after which he then took us to actually see the various different options on site. Spent over 2 hours with us explaining everything in great detail. There are apparently, according to the website of the Harazesim, Beis HaKvaros, 11 at least, different Chevra Kadisha associations servicing the Yerushalayim community. That includes the Chevra Kadisha Prushim, which was the Chevra of the Yishuv HaYashan back in the 1850s, still in active service. There is the general Chevra of the Sephardim, which was the old Chevra Kadisha servicing the Sephardic community, already also dating back to previous centuries. And you have some newer Chevra Kadisha associations. You have the Chevra Kadisha Kehilas Yerushalayim, which was established, I think, they say about 1939 or so. You have the Chevra Kadisha Chasidim that services various Hasidic communities. And you have smaller Chevra Kadisha associations that service more specific Sephardic communities. All in all, about 11 different Chevras in the Yerushalayim area. According to the director of the Kehilas Yerushalayim Chevra, who we met with, the current director is a Klosenberger, I think, chassid by the name of Moshe Shimon. Previous director for many decades was a seventh generation Chevra Kadisha fellow of German Jewish background, Hananya Shachor. They were both present for the presentation. Apparently, the Chevra Kadisha Kehilas Yerushalayim today does 55% of the burials in Yerushalayim. So they are the ones doing the most kavura in Yerushalayim today. Of all the 11 chevras, they're perhaps the busiest in Yerushalayim. So we met in their office, and the presentation of Asher Weiss gave us began, of course, with the fact that there is a shortage of burial space in Eretz Yisrael in general. Aside from the need to service the Israeli population, you have thousands of niftarim coming from Chutz La'aretz, North America, England, each and every year. And on top of that, you have, I saw online an article by Bishol Rosen quoting a report by the Misrad L'Shei Ritei HaDat that there are 7,500 tons of geniza produced per year. Astronomical amounts. So you're looking at a crisis of burial plots in Eretz Yisrael. And of course the question is what to do, how to go about it. So one solution that they're working on, which we were able to tour, was proposed, I think we were told, by Hananya Shachor back in 2014 when the Roltzor, or perhaps more accurately, the Minharot Roltzor company, this underground tunnel excavation company, approached Hananya Shachor of this Chevra Kadisha and proposed digging out under the mountain an underground cemetery to make more room for graves. This is the company that dug the tunnels for the railroads, I think for the Tel Aviv Yerushalayim train. They're specialized in subterranean space. And so they started back in 2014 digging 50 meters underground in solid rock of Har HaMenuchos. I think they already started performing burials in 2019. And Rav Asher took us with the Chevra Kadisha Mankal and past Mankal into the excavation, into the underground cemetery. It's the largest underground cemetery in the world. It is the third largest underground space in the entire country after the military Kiriya and other various military installations. And it is remarkable. Imagine a very, very wide tunnel that just stretches out into the distance. The Mankal told me that they've dug out now 1.8 square kilometers under the solid rock of the mountain. So you just imagine yourself in a massive tunnel, just looking forward. It's all climate controlled, very brightly lit. on the floor, as far as you can see almost, there is just grave plots on the floor, just in front of you, in the floor. Grave plots all around, ahead of you, stretching forward. And on the sides, imagine the walls. There's the ground level. There is one balcony level along the walls, and then a second balcony level along the walls. So you can walk along the walls on either the ground level, on one balcony, or on a second balcony. And the reason they have those balconies is because in the walls, they have what they call kuchen, perhaps little tube-shaped empty spaces in the walls in which bodies can be put for burial. The way that they are arranged is that there are, in each of those three stories that I described, on each side, there is four levels of this kuchen. So if you have the ground level, the first balcony, and second balcony, that means from ceiling to floor, there's 12 such kuchen in the wall. And it's not just one row of 12, but it's the entire length of the tunnel. 12 after 12 after 12 after 12 of these kuchen in the wall. And you see the used ones have a square matseva in the opening with the name of the nifter buried inside of it. And then there are the unused ones that are just temporarily closed off but waiting to be used. So for as far as you can see almost, you have on the floor, ground level in front of you, you have these graves waiting to be used. On either side of you, on the walls, on either side of you, you have just, I don't know how many, hundreds or thousands of kuchen lining the walls. Again, each one 12 from floor to ceiling, after one after another after another. So it's a remarkable development. And then we entered into the construction zone. It's a massive underground construction zone with dump trucks and excavators and all sorts of heavy equipment, just digging more and more and more. The Mankal told me that they've only excavated 5% of what there is to dig. So the possibilities of the number of graves they can build under the mountain are, at this point, too many to count. So that's one very fascinating option that they are, at the moment, working on, and that already are being used. We happened to come across the grave of Esther Pollard not too long ago. She was buried in one of these underground kvarim that we passed by in the tunnel.
Rabbi Marcus, does it matter in the tower? Is it all male or
female? I didn't pay attention. I don't think they're makbid there. We did come across one fellow who was by the kuch, you would call it, of his sister. We said tilim and kaddish with him. I didn't notice that they're makbid on male, female, as far as I could tell. So that's one option that is already in use and being developed. And a second, well, we actually just mentioned two, really. We mentioned the in-the-ground graves that we just referred to, and the kuchen in the walls that we described. And the third option then, which I'm not going to discuss in detail right now, is what they call the komot. The komot meaning the stories, the floors. By that they refer to an outdoor structure, which you can see when you walk outside on Har HaMenuchos. The best way to describe it is perhaps like a parking garage structure, an outdoor parking garage, where you go from story to story to story, just one concrete floor above another. But instead of parking spaces, on each concrete level are graves in the ground. But it's not the ground because it's a concrete story that's built on top of another concrete story, on top of another concrete story. So if you look at it from a distance, it looks like a parking garage structure, outdoor parking lot, multi-storied. But on each level, instead of parking spaces, are graves in the ground. So every concrete level is covered with earth, and then graves built into that story, or the one below it, or the one below that, in the earth. And again, we'll discuss this a little bit more in detail, perhaps in another share, but the question there is that, yeah, you're burying someone in dirt, but the dirt is on concrete, and the concrete is not the original ground. The original ground is, you know, a few stories below. This is a structure built on top of the ground that has a concrete story with dirt on top of it and graves in that dirt. Is that allowed? Is that not allowed? And that, of course, is a very, very significant controversy. Just this past week, Rav Moshe Sternbach released a tshuva addressing that very issue. This is still an ongoing discussion in Poskim in Halacha. Just to give you a sense the Mankal told me that if a resident of Yerushalayim passes away, so a resident of Israel is given an automatic burial plot. But in Yerushalayim, he's not entitled to demand an in-the-ground burial, the traditional type of burial. If he wants a free burial plot, he might be given one of those in the mountain, in the wall, kuchen burial plots. In the email I sent out today, I made reference to a former member of the Queens community whose father was living in Yerushalayim, passed away. They called the Chevra, they came for the Levaya, and much to his shock, he sees his father being inserted into one of those kuchim in the wall. He never dreamed that his father wouldn't have a traditional in-the-floor burial. He was so shocked that he called another Chevra the next day and had the next Chevra come. I think during the night, they took his father out and put him into another traditional Chevra somewhere else. So apparently you're not, in Yerushalayim at least, I was told, not allowed to demand if you want a free burial spot. You can't just assume you'll get one in the ground. Those who are coming from Chutz La'aretz who want to purchase a burial plot in Har Menuchos, so at least, again, through this chevra, I can't speak for the other chevras, but this chevra, the Mankal told me, if someone wants to purchase an in-the-ground traditional burial plot, about $40,000 to $43,000 for one plot. If one wants to purchase a kuch, one of those in-the-wall spots, so the ones that we saw in the mountain wall itself, $12,000. So significant, significant difference. But of course, it's one's traditional, what we're used to, one is very, very different. But let me move on to, in the remaining few minutes, just a discussion with regard to the in-the-ground burial plots. Another option being utilized to facilitate maximizing burial space is kuvura zeh al gabei zeh, burying a couple, one on top of the other in the same plot. Meaning, if someone wants to buy in Har Menuchos, in the ground, even underground, but in the ground, traditional burial plots, side by side, one for himself, one for his wife, it's going to cost about $80,000 to $86,000. But they do offer the option of buying one burial plot. Again, this is what I'm talking about. For $43,000. But it's a deep plot. And in the same plot, you can have husband and wife, one on top of the other. Sounds strange, but that is what they offer. We saw one matzeva there. In Eretz Yisrael, the practices, they have a flat matzeva lying on the floor, not one standing up. Flat matzeva on the floor. Only half of the matzeva stone was filled in with the inscription of the first spouse who died. There was a line in the middle. The second half was blank, waiting for the next spouse to pass away. Whenever that time will come, he or she will be buried in that same plot on top of the first spouse, and then this inscription would be on the second half of the matzeva. Now, what is that all about? So what they do is as follows. They have a very deep plot. They bury the first spouse, the bottom of the plot. They fill it with a certain amount of dirt, which we'll discuss in detail shortly, above that spouse. Then they put the stone covering on top. When the next spouse passes away, they remove the stone covering. The dirt is still there covering the first spouse who died. They put the second spouse on top of that dirt, put in more dirt, and the stone on top of the second spouse. That is the kavura za'al gabe zeh. Now one looks in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Samach Beis. The Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Dalet, you're not supposed to bury one aron on top of the other unless there is six tfachim of dirt in between the two. If there's six tfachim of dirt in between the two, that, says the Shulchan Aruch, is allowed. The Bach, writing in Simen Shin Samach Beis, writes that in Krakow, the practice was to bury one on top of the other. And the Bach is critical because they didn't allow for the full six tfachim of earth in between the two bodies in the same plot. The Shachler writes, if you have no other option, okay, what are you supposed to do? But the Bach notes the minig in Krakow was to bury one on top of the other, but he says they have to be careful, which probably they weren't, to put six tfachim of earth in between the two niftarim. Rav Asher Weiss pointed out to us that if you go to the Prague Cemetery today, The number of matzevas that are piled one on top of the other is so dense. He said, what's the plot? It's very simple. It's because over the years, they had no other space to bury the mason, so they buried one on top of the other. So you have two matzevas or more in the area of that really you would think is one kever, but it's numerous kvar, one on top of the other. So if I should point out, this is a minhag Yisrael already for many generations, Krakow, Prague, to bury zeh al gabei zeh. And I just write and conclude with this. He told us, and I quote his words, he said, to bury a married couple, zeh al gabei zeh, he said as lechatchila sheber lechatchila. Those were his words. So he was 100% behind that option. If somebody wants to buy an in-the-ground traditional cavern, Har Menuchos, for $43,000, but wants to maximize the possibilities of burying two people, I mean a husband and wife, in the same plot, one on top of the other, with six tzvachim of earth in between, he said it's lechatchila, sheber lechatchila. He says it's a minig show for many generations already, it's many centuries already, and that is one option that certainly can be pursued. And we'll discuss, not tomorrow, because I have a chasna to go to, but the next day, Be'ez Hashem, some more details with regard to these various kavura discussions.